Hello, everyone, and welcome to Note to Scene, a music news podcast covering everything from pop punk to metalcore. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, where every week we discuss all the biggest news stories in the music scene. Find more episodes of this show on Apple Podcasts, where you should please rate and review us. Email us at notescene@gmail.com. So much to talk about this week. Big news from A Day to Remember and Fall Out Boy. But first, we're going to talk about Of Mice and Men, who are moving forward without former singer Austin Carlisle. Full steam ahead. All right, let's go. So Kylo Ren doesn't know what emo is.
What the hell's that all about, man? How does he not know what emo is, especially at this point in his career with everything that happened with that first Star Wars movie?
And the fact that the Kylo Ren is emo Twitter account
Right,
was the
that's what I'm talking
famous
about.
Twitter account of, that year. What was the exact quote? What he said, what is that? Like when Rolling Stone brought up emo, he was
Yeah,
like,
like
what is emo?
he was
Straight
completely
up.
oblivious. He
I
was
love this.
acting. He was
This
acting.
Rolling Stone, they communicated his sincerity. Vulture had this great quote. I got to read. They said, Adam Driver, a man who looks like a lost member of Taking Back Sunday. Adam Driver, who can probably sing Dashboard Confessional at karaoke without even looking at the monitor. Adam Driver, whose Star Wars character definitely sobs in private to My Chemical Romance.
Doesn't know what emo is.
Pretty crazy. I thought
Yeah.
Vulture hit that nail on the head right there.
Absolutely. I don't understand, especially even after all the press that he was getting. The Twitter
Right.
account, the Spotify playlists, it was
Yep.
everywhere. It was pretty funny too. I wrote a lot about it when I was at AP. That was after he left, but I couldn't believe this story when it broke. I was like, "What? What is even happening anymore?"
All right. Let's get into our listener questions of the week. Our first question comes in from listener Zoe D, who writes into notescene@gmail.com. Zoe says, Hi, boys. Thank you for this great podcast. Longtime listener. You are part of the reason I am trying to be a music reporter. That's awesome to hear, Zoe. Anyway, my point of this email. I was listening to the podcast when you mentioned the new Being is an Ocean sound, and it got me thinking that more and more scene bands are turning to more electronic sounds. My question is, do you think that the future of the scene is more electronic inspired or not? All the best, Zoe. To answer your question, Zoe, I'm going to say no. We kind of already went through a major electronic period with metalcore and bands like Scarlet Drive, Amorosa, just tons of bands. There was really a gold rush of that stuff that already happened. But it's tough because you got a band like Paris who were sort of like the electronic chosen ones. And they went in the opposite direction and made this like earthy indie cave rock shit, that we had to deal with. They didn't do the dark pop electronic album we thought they were going to do. But then on the other side of the coin, you have Bring Me the Horizon, who have gotten progressively more and more electronic as time has gone on. So what it comes down to here is I don't think EDM is the future or the past of the scene at this point. It's just, it has always been there. And kind of always will be omnipresent in music in our scene. That's kind of where it is. It's not, there's no revolution coming. It's just kind of there. How about you, T-Sharp?
Yeah, for sure. Same page. The scene, like we've talked about, we just don't really know what the future looks like for the scene because it looks like there isn't much of a future for the scene. To bring things even into a more recent lens, we saw the new Waterpark single has pop top 40 EDM elements in it, which I thought was really interesting to see in a new wave neon song. But that's just going to be an option. I truly don't believe like that's going to take over and become a movement again. If you want to look at SoundCloud rap, the scene won't accept it. For whatever reason, the scene won't accept it. Lil Peep was kind of our only hope, and we don't have him anymore. So if you want to look at bands like Nothing Nowhere and then Lil Aaron and so on, if the scene can get behind that and fully embrace it, then obviously there's definitely going to be an electronic element involved in it for sure. But right now, we're just kind of at a standstill with everything. So I think electronics will always be an option in the scene, but I don't see it completely taking over.
I'm with you there. Just not going to happen. Our next question comes in from listener Dustin. Dustin says, "Dear Matt and Tyler, I'm a fan of the podcast. It keeps me entertained at work in between stops as I am a delivery driver. Some people call me a scene veteran as I am 29 and have been listening to music in the underground scene since I was a senior in high school. I've seen the ups and downs of groups and artists and watched them come in hot and drop like flies. I keep pretty active with up and coming acts, but your episode about Lil Peep being this generation's Kurt Cobain really has me in confusion. I'll be honest, I didn't listen to the entire episode, but the title alone really speaks volumes that don't need to be turned up to 11. Yes, he passed. Yes, it was tragic. Yeah, I realize he was popular, but I really think your personal liking for his music is masking the fact that a lot of people in the scene had no idea who he was. It's your podcast. You will cover who and what you want, and I respect that, but the title alone really gives this guy more credit than he should get as far as his impact on music and the scene. All the best, Dustin." First off, Dustin, just to respond to that, I want to say we stand by the credit we give Lil Peep and the impact he will have on music, as does the New York Times, Pitchfork, Pete Wentz, Travis Barker, Sam Smith, Good Charlotte, Lil Uzi, and the rest of the music industry. He was the future. But secondly, I want to say we understand Peep isn't for everyone.
Totally. Yet,
Dustin, you might just catch on, you know? But that's why we made it a bonus episode. We didn't, this episode was an extra piece of content we made that didn't interfere with your normal Monday show. And that's the reason we did it, because we understand Peep isn't for everyone. And, you know, that said, we can agree to disagree on Peep, but we really appreciate your feedback and you taking the time to write in.
Totally. Thanks for writing in. I love when we get stuff like this that kind of goes against what we say, because it's good to have these discussions. But just to put Peep's future, what we know of it, into context, he had a song that they were teasing at live shows that was done with Wiz Khalifa. And we talked about the backing that he had on this on our Peep episode. It was insane. He was, you know, he was managed by Eminem's agent, who's Kara Lewis, and the whole industry was just getting behind this guy. And despite that, despite having all these opportunities and all these mainstream doors being open for him, he wanted to be in our world. He wanted to be in the scene. He wanted to be at Warped Tour. He wanted to be at Alternative Press. And he loved everyone from Under Oath and Chiodos to Fall Out Boy and Brand New. Like, you name it, that kid was into it.
They were just playing Blink-182 and My Chemical Romance at his memorial. They played his favorite songs.
Right.
And, you know, that's what he loved. And, you know, he was just in the Alternative Press offices not that long ago. Mm-hmm. So we got to move on, though, Tyler.
All right.
Go into our main story this week, which is Of Mice and Men. So Of Mice and Men released the title track from their new Rise Records album, Defy, the first album without singer Austin Carlisle. This follows the singles Unbreakable, Back to Me, and Warzone, which we will talk about in a minute. But let's first off, what are your impressions of the song Defy, Tyler Sharp?
It's not good. This is Breaking Benjamin meets 3 Days Grace, and it's kind of what we were just expecting from the band, but I was hoping for a little bit more punch. This song just kind of fades into the background. I think if you put it in front of a radio rock bro, they're going to be like, yeah, that sounds good, but it's not going to be a hit. It's not going to get momentum. To put it into perspective, it has 82,000 Spotify streams so far and only 167,000 YouTube streams. To put that into perspective, Pain, which was the first single off Cold World, shot to 500,000 views on YouTube like within the first couple days, and it's went on to get a ton more. But this song is not what they needed. It needed to be bigger. And it's not gonna put them on the level that they need to be with this album. They're just fading. They're fading, and the album isn't even out yet. But what do you think about the song, Matt?
I'm kind of right with you there. You know, this song is just basically like your okay rock radio fodder, you know, comparing to some of the bands you mentioned. I like the shouting chorus. I think that's an okay part of it. Like, that's the standout part to me.
Sure.
But overall, I'm kind of at like a 6 out of 10 on the song. I liked the first two singles, Unbreakable and Back to Me. I thought those worked a lot better. But after them, we got Warzone, which was like this half-assed dive back into metalcore, and that really pissed me off. So the band are kind of in this weird spot now, where we had these two early singles that looked like they could have performed well at radio, and then they dropped this half-ass metalcore track, and now they drop this. I don't know. This song could work at rock radio, but it's just it's not there. You know, it's not superstar caliber.
Absolutely, it's so middle of the road. But yeah, like you said, we were so stoked on Unbreakable. I still remember doing that episode because the song dropped while we were recording it, and we took a break and we come back in and I edited it into the episode.
Right.
We were stoked on it. Like, we were thinking maybe this could work. Maybe Aaron Pauly could carry this band into the rock metal bro world. But that song, for me, it's honestly just been decent ever since that knee-jerk reaction that we had to it. Scene Kids Don't Want It. Back to Me, which was the second single, it peaked at the mid-30s on rock radio, and it just couldn't climb anywhere. And no new singles have been sent, as far as I know. And if they have, they haven't made any dent whatsoever. Their core fan base just doesn't want this sound, and the metal radio bros don't, obviously, just don't want it either.
When that song dropped, like, we were in, I remember.
Yeah.
But it's like, we were in the band sort of pivoting into this radio rock role that they could fill. They looked like they were capable of pulling it off. But, like, you go back to Warzone, that video, like, they're really trying to make Aaron Pauly, like, a centerpiece of the band.
That's
and
wrong.
Not sort of act like your typical rock radio band.
Right.
That dude is not a front man that can carry a band. You know, they really need to present themselves as a unit and not him as like this idea of Mice and Men, because he's not the type of dude that can pull it off, you know. And they're going the wrong direction, like you said. There's no rock radio play. Like, they're off the charts. They're nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
So we were kind of evaluating, you know, can the band survive without Austin? It seemed like no at first, but then we had a little hope with Unbreakable and this rock radio pivot potential. But now, sort of reassessing, looking at it, what do you think, Tyler? I mean, do you think, can they pull it off?
Currently, no, because like we're going to talk about in a second with the tour, they are not where they need to be right now. These songs aren't sticking on rock radio. They're not getting the momentum they need. And their actual fan base that they have that is already established are so indifferent about the songs that it's just not carrying them anywhere.
Like, and they're coming off a pretty fucking big handicap when you think about it, because even with Austin, Cold World fucking tanked. Like, Cold World debuted with 14,000 first week, coming down from Restoring Force, which did 51,000 first week.
It was
so people were already out.
It was like 18 or 19,000 first week.
Oh, I'm pretty sure
it was
I saw
close
14.
To 20.
Okay,
but it was about a 50% drop, a little bit.
It
over.
Was in the teens.
Yeah,
and they previously had did 51,000 first week, so
right.
One of the worst drops we've seen in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So people were already out the fucking door on Of Mice and Men before Austin left, you know, and now he's gone. So I really see them in this terrible position. You know, it's not going to work. They needed radio success. They needed maybe a major label. It doesn't seem like it's happening. But so now they've announced a tour with Bless the Fall, like R.I.P., you know, Cain Hill and Fire from the Gods, who had some hype a long time ago. I don't know if they still have any hype left. You know, they're playing 1,000 cap rooms, House of Blue size. Like, these are way smaller than when Austin was in the band and they were playing closer to like 2,000 caps. You know, I don't even know if they sell this tour out.
I don't think so at all. And that's so sad looking at the lineup. But like, I don't know for a fact, but I'm certain within myself that they got turned down from every rock radio tour that they submitted for. Because you know that they were trying to get on another Slipknot headliner, a Breaking Benjamin headliner, even like a 3 Days Grace headliner. Because that was the last tour that the band did with Austin, was opening for Slipknot and Marilyn Manson over summer of like 2016, I think it was. So yeah, last summer. This is a pile of washed up shit tour, man. I mean,
I know. I mean, this is like the everybody who's on their way out tour. You know what I mean? Like the fucking
right. Like you said,
sweeping it into the fucking broom, sweeping the broom into the pan thing, like dump it in the
man.
Trash. Like this
Bless
is
the Fall. They're on the hardest downslope. Cain Hill, they can fucking keep their new wave, new metal shit. It's not going anywhere. Fire from the Gods, they had like this spark of hype when they first signed Arise, but fucking they got put on the punk stage at Warped Tour over the summer.
Yeah,
no one
never,
even knew they were happened. There. No one ever caught on. So this is just, it's sad to see at this point. And this tour is not going to help in any way.
No, you know, if you're going to be pivoting towards this radio rock sound, they really should be opening for like a Chevelle or a Breaking
right.
Benjamin. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? That's their move. That's really where they should be. But like you said, for whatever reason, I mean, you got a band like Breaking Benjamin looks at it and says, oh, you just lost your front man, and we probably don't want you opening for us. I can understand that.
That sales drop, man,
yeah.
From Restoring Force to Cold World. That's fucking ridiculous, dude. If you show that to any promoter,
yeah.
They're like, no,
I mean,
whoa,
and,
no.
And you lose your star.
Right.
That's, you know,
yes.
I could see them 500 kids max, you know, 300 to 500
God,
kids,
dude.
You know, showing
yeah.
out to the store maybe.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd
are
like
there
to
any
see...
less fall fans left? Like, shout out to us. No casino gmail.com if you exist, you know?
Right.
Like, are they gonna, we know they're not going to draw. Kate Hill, Fire from the Gods, that's like 10 kids.
Right. There's some random band that's opening the tour too. So there's literally like, how many bands on this tour? Six? Five? There's five bands on this tour. Yeah.
So maybe you ridiculous. See like 300 old school OM&M fans like show out just to show out, you know, and 500 on a good day. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Just yelling, play Second in Sebring the whole time.
Oh my God. Play Second in Sebring. Play You Dig. Play 7,000 Miles. Play Still You Diggin'. There's a song on the new album actually called like Forever Still You Diggin' or something.
Shout out to 2012 Metalcore, man.
Right?
Shout it out. It's called Forever You Diggin'.
Yeah. So I mean, hope that there's something maybe to look forward
no.
to. But
no.
We gotta do our we gotta do the first week prediction, Tyler. This is kind of tough. What do you think? So as we've talked about, Restoring Force, you think it did 18K? I think it did 14K.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did. I'm almost like 99% sure it did 18,000 first week.
Okay, we'll go with you and we'll say 18K. The one before that, I'm sorry, not Restoring Force. Cold World did that. Restoring Force did 51K. Where do you see Defy selling, Tyler?
I'm putting it even with Sleeping with Sirens, 12K.
Okay, I'm at 11K.
Okay.
So we're close, I'm just a little lower. But yeah, that's kind of where I see them ending up.
The over-under bet right here.
I think a lot of Mice and Men fans are going to just kind of buy this record unknowing. You know, I think that's going to be the majority of the people who
Oof.
Buy it. The ones who just don't really know what's going on with the band.
It's hard to be unknowing at this point, man. The singles are out. The reason that Neck Deep was able to move all those copies over the summer and falsely lead people on to an album is because they didn't drop singles. Over the summer.
The diehards who just hit pre-order immediately, though, you know.
How many of those
gonna,
are left, man?
They're gonna get whoever did it for Cold World, you know, those kids are gonna pre-order
man.
Button already, and they're gonna get a surprise in the mail.
There is a spark of hope left at Cold World. There's no hope here.
All right, let's move on to our next story, which is a day to remember. Announced a big tour with Papa Roach, Falling in Reverse, and The Devil Wears Prada. Are you going to go to this tour, Tyler Sharp?
I honestly would love to go to this tour, man.
Papa Roach,
as
right?
a fan. Yeah, Papa Roach, obviously. No, dude, I'm going for fucking Prada, man. That's my OGs right there. I hope they, I'm just going to yell, play Dogs Grow Beards all over the entire time. This feels like a bit of a cry for help, this whole tour. Good for Papa Roach, I guess. Like, I think that they're going to grow from this. I think that they might steal some Scene Kid fans, which is what they kind of want to do at this point. This is the last time Falling in Reverse and Devil Wears Prada will ever play anything this big. If you just go through, like, the first five dates, you got a 5,000 cap, a 3,000 cap, a 10,000 cap, a 7,000 cap, a 4,600 cap.
Yeah.
Can't,
it's kind of riding in that 5,000 cap range,
right,
which is
right
where
around
we sort
there.
Of expect a day to remember to be. You know, there's like a
For
random
sure.
10K in there that you know they're not going to sell
right,
out.
Obviously.
And it's like,
it's in St. Louis.
This is what we expect, but it's like, they kind of have strong support on this tour when you think about it. So it's like, you would almost expect more of it. We would have expected more of a
right,
day to remember
exactly.
at this point in their career. Like,
exactly.
And Papa Roach, like, they have a core fan base that shows out. You know, they're always on radio. They've had big radio hits this year. So that's pretty strong support, you know? And Falling in Reverse did decent. Prada have obviously fallen off, but, you know, I think they still have their core fans who are going to show out. So you just would have kind of thought ADTR would be playing bigger shows at this point, but instead they're still
in their
kind of
same
where they
range
are
in the,
3 years ago.
Been.
Yeah, like,
right,
so might,
right.
Shows might even be smaller than the, what was the big tour they did? The big one with the fucking hamster ball.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I can't remember who was on that tour, but it was the one before the Blink tour.
Yeah.
So do you think that they could sell these out?
You know, I don't know. It's like the band have been away for a while. You know, mm-hmm. they've completely fallen off the charts, by the way. Bullfight is nowhere to be found. You know, bad song anyway, but like they tried to push We Got This, remember?
And that fell
right on its face, man. That went nowhere. You know, so the band really haven't had any radio success since Paranoia, which, you know, I'm sure all the Papa Roach fans are going to appreciate hearing that live, because that's like right up their fucking alley. But
right
so the band haven't had much scene success, and they haven't had much radio success with their radio rock record. So I don't know if I
agree with branding it as an anniversary tour. Anniversary tours are made for bands whose pasts were brighter than their futures. Like, it's a way to recapitalize off your peak. I just don't know if branding it as a 15-year anniversary tour and you're going to be playing all your old shit, I don't know if that's a good idea. I think this A Day to Remember still have the chance to have a very bright future and peak as a band all over again. So I don't think it's time to look back just yet. And I don't really like that they're rebranding it or branding it as that. But still, shout out to the 20,000 shares the announcement post got on Facebook. Yeah. Like, that's some solid exposure.
You know, they've only made one minor misstep with Bad Vibrations.
Right.
And a minor misstep. So we can't count them out, you know, and they had some successes there. But
and
yeah,
that's why I don't like them looking back.
So it's not time to look back yet, guys. Like, let's make a banger album. Let's move forward, which I don't know, you know, hopefully we get the new record this year.
Drop like All I Want Part 2 as a standalone. That's all they got to do. That's all they got to fucking do. Send that sucker to radio. You get a top 10 hit. You get momentum, tour offers. This band could keep rolling. I don't like when they're looking back. You don't see fucking Bring Me the Horizon doing a 15-year anniversary tour.
No, they don't want anything to do with their old shit.
No,
you know what I mean?
Man.
They're plunging forward into the future and selling way more records because of it.
Exactly.
A Day to Remember stumbling here. And
a little bit.
That's troubling to see, because this is, you know, as of our last episode, this was our biggest scene band. So.
Right.
As the scene continues to burn, this is not a good sign. We got to move on, Tyler Sharp, and talk about our next story, which is Fall Out Boy. Fall Out Boy gave a really interesting interview to Rolling Stone about the band's midlife crisis. And I thought this was a very insane interview. Like, it just looked at the mess that has been the Mania rollout. You know, they're talking about the failure of Young and Menace and the failure of Champion as lead singles. And the band are just speaking very candidly about it. Like Pete says, quote, "The songs were trying to serve everybody, but they weren't going to be compelling to anybody. It felt like all bread and no meat. There was no spicy mustard or anything." Like, this is Pete talking about music he just released. He's shitting on songs he just released. You know, we don't really see bands do that. I think it's very interesting. Bands are always, you know, even if an album tanks and does shitty, you'll still see band members be like, "I'm really proud of the work we did." He's like, "No, this shit sucks." Like, I just couldn't believe I was reading Fall Out Boy. You know, their fucking A&R, their label and their publicist had to be like, no. You know
no,
what I mean?
Don't say it. Yep.
Because, like, at the same time, you know, Pete's trashing all these singles, but they're still on the fucking album.
That's what I was just about to say. They're still on your product that you're going to be selling. I couldn't believe it,
man. He just said, "These songs are the problem. So if those songs are the problem, why are you keeping them on the album?"
Those are throwaways. You forget that happened. You call the album something different. You change everything. You rebrand. You do an about turn. I can't believe that we're still going forward with Mania.
Another Fall Out Boy blunder. You just said these songs suck and they're going to be on the album. You can't do that.
And I 100% do not think that their newest singles that they've released since they quote unquote rewrote the album are good enough. They're not on radio. None of them are burning. And that's a problem for Fall Out Boy.
It's so crazy because, you think back to like everything has just been a big blunder and a big what with this rollout, because when they were saying they were going to scrap the album, I think I remember you and I were talking and you were like, there's no way they're scrapping the album because they've already booked an entire arena tour to support it. It just seemed impossible, but yet they did. They scrapped the fucking album and
they did the
you
tour.
You scrapped the album and and now they have to do the tour and you're keeping the bad singles on the album. But I don't know. I see Hold Me Tight or Don't as a bright spot. I think it's a potential good reset. You know, it's riding the Latin pop wave. It could catch, could go.
Well, what the hell's taking them so long to submit it? Why isn't it on the charts?
I don't know. This is just going to be a very, you know, Mania needs to be examined by like a team of scientists, you know, for 20 years under a microscope. Like, this is everything you can do wrong with a rollout. But it's just a fascinating fucking interview. You know, they also randomly like looked back at their career and were talking about, the quote was, none of the emo bands messed with us. And, you know, they were talking about how like bands like Taking Back Sunday and Brand New didn't want to play with them, because it's funny to think back to, but there was a point in the scene kind of right when Corkscrew was blowing up, when it was really uncool to like Fall Out
Yes,
Boy. Like,
absolutely.
You beat up at a show for liking Fall Out Boy. And it's true. And it's funny to hear the band say that, that like none of those, you know, cool emo bands wanted to mess with them.
It'd be like wearing a Bring Me the Horizon shirt to like a Trapped Under Ice show. Like
right,
that was the
exactly.
equivalent, because Fall Out Boy came out of the hardcore scene.
Right. There's just this weird period where like, because Fall Out Boy were so cool when they put out Take This to Your Grave. It was so cool, like Fall Out Boy. And then Corkscrew blew up, got on radio, and it was like, this band sucks.
Fucking,
you know, everybody
sellouts.
Said this. Yeah. And everybody moved on to Panic. And
you were totally right, though. I love the candidness of this interview, regardless of whether or not it was good or bad, ultimately. But
right.
Joe commented, they brought up the concept of anniversary tours and how they haven't even acknowledged Infinity on High is turning 10 this year. And I loved his quote. Joe says, I'm going to sound like a jerk, but we are still doing the band and making records. We are not on a 10-year anniversary tour. We are still an active band. That is not an easy thing to do. He's just basically shitting on every band that's
Absolutely.
Doing an anniversary tour, saying like, sucks to suck, guys, but you peaked.
Yeah.
We haven't. And
all the
that
bands
that
wouldn't
that
fucking
mentality.
Tour with them. All the emo bands that wouldn't tour with them.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you all fucking
are
peaked,
now
like,
doing anniversary shows, you know?
Right? Shout out to Taking Back Sunday. Like,
that was a cocky statement, and I liked it. This interview was just like a hot mess, but I loved it. You know, it's like everything your press training tells you not
right,
to do.
Right,
and when you ignore your publicist and you ignore your label, you actually have a great interview. Like, so many gems. Like, they were talking about, you know, playing, how they get to play Jingle Ball with Taylor Swift and Ed
right?
Sheeran. And how they're like, they're sort of the only rock band out there that is like poppy enough to play that lane. And the quote Pete said, he says, when we play those things, it literally feels like we're Slayer or something, you know, to the audience. And that just made me crack the fuck up,
uh-huh.
you know. They come out there, the only rock music these kids have heard in, you know, 10 years probably. It's great stuff.
For sure. That was a hot mess, but it was fun to watch, you know,
Absolutely.
Watch that interview go down. And they got press off of it. AP posted about it. Roxhound posted about it. It's
mm-hmm.
good for them.
Yeah.
Too bad the music isn't there yet.
Yeah, they're just flailing all over the place, and we'll see where they land. But we got to move on to our next story, which is our pop story, which is Korean boy group BTS. Tyler, why don't you tell listeners what BTS did?
Yeah, I'm sure every listener out there is like, what the fuck, they're going off again, it's another fucking pop story derailing the whole show. I'm gonna keep this short and sweet. BTS are the biggest band in the world right now, and Matt does not agree with me, but I swear by that. They're a K-pop boy band from South Korea. They formed in 2013, and they're basically taking over the world right now. They've sold over 5 million albums. They have 10.3 million Twitter followers, over 2.1 billion YouTube views, and they've had number one songs in over 73 countries. And before Matt brings up his rebuttal...
Except America.
Here we go. Before Matt brings up his rebuttal about how they haven't hit yet in America and their Spotify listeners are super low, Spotify is not available in South Korea, which is where their fan base is generated, and now it's just spreading out across the entire globe. So if they had it there, I guarantee they'd be dominating the world top 50 Spotify chart, but they're nowhere to be found yet, except for this week. So this week they've started their takeover of America. And they played Ellen, they played Jimmy Kimmel, and before that, they played the AMA Awards. And they just released a new song called Mic Drop, which they released. So they released Mic Drop on an album. They released a remix version of it, which was done by Steve Aoki. And now they've just released a new version of that remix with Designer, who is a rising kind of rapper right now.
So what do you think of Mic Drop, Tyler Sharp?
I think it's a fucking banger for Banger Nation, man. It's time to stand up because this song is going to take over. It's grating. It's in your face. It's just like the most aggressive EDM you can find right now, and I fucking love it, man. Like, these guys are just going so hard on stage. I don't give a shit if they're lip syncing or not. This band is so just enthralling to watch, and it makes me so happy that there is a Beatles type moment happening somewhere in the world right now for a band. That just makes me so excited because music is just not what it used to be, and it's not the commercial monster that it once was. So to see a band having this kind of success makes me happy, and this song is probably going on my songs of the year list. But all right, I'll get down off my soapbox now, Matt. What do you think about this song and BTS as a whole right now?
Okay, so starting off with BTS as a whole, like, not only am I not about it, I'm actively against it.
Oh, here we go.
The song, I hate this song. Like, I truly, deeply hate this song. Like, to me, this sounds like if you took, like, everything that was cool in club music in 2010, mixed it with some of the tropiest, like, Nintendo Core pre-choruses tropes in K-pop, and then had Michael Bay produce the song. Like, that's what this sounds like to me. I mean, I really can't take this. And, you know, part of me might just be, like, bitter because I really, really like K-pop. Like, I more so really like a lot of the girl groups over there that I think are doing really interesting and fun things with electropop, whether you're talking about, like, a Red Velvet or, like, a Girls' Generation. I'd rather see one of those girl groups cross over here to me. That would be so much fun. But instead, we get these fucking jokers and their stupid hats and their stupid fucking dances. I'm so upset, man. You know, they've sold more records in South Korea. Obviously, they're huge and successful. They've sold more records in South Korea than there are people in Korea. So it's like, I think the people of South Korea have finally overthrown the tyranny of this band that they had to live under, and they threw them over to our shores, and now we have to deal with them. They tried to throw Psy at us, you know? Stop doing this.
Like, no, Psy was a joke. This is not a joke.
Stop doing this, Korea. Send us your good artists.
Like, this is good.
I will ride for Hyuna, like Bubble Pop for life. You know, the girl can sing. 4-minute reunion. Send us some good stuff. I'm upset.
So, Mic Drop, for rebuttal, for you saying that this is not good and it shouldn't happen over here. Mic
this
Drop
is the Transformers of music songs.
And it's fantastic. Mic Drop is it's the Hot 100 for this week hasn't been released yet, but it's forecasted to debut in the top half right around like 39, which is fucking insane for a song to debut at that like that. Mm-hmm. And this would be BTS's first time on the chart. It's currently on top 40 radio, and it just got submitted, I think, last week. I'm not for sure on that, but last week had 148 spins, and it was at number 62 on top 40. It has jumped up to 50 this right now as we stand, and it has had 640 plays this past week, which is an increase of 332%. This song is going to climb the charts. I would put a lot of money on it being a top 10 hit. I think this band is going to take over, and we are just seeing the beginning of what BTS is going to do to America. If you don't believe me, go watch the Jimmy Kimmel performance and go watch the Ellen performance. It is absolutely insane.
Speaking of the charting, I mean, we don't know how much the label's down payment for that chart position was. And it could have been nothing. Sure. It could have been nothing. They could have paid a lot of money. We don't really know. We never know in these situations. So I always consider that. You know, I know it's at 50 right now on radio. I haven't heard it at all on pop radio. I just don't think it's going to get any radio play. And I think once it debuts at that strong chart position, I think it's going to swan dive off the charts. Like, I just think like that, even their single DNA was way better than this one. And that only reached number 60.
No.
Like, I just don't think that was at least like a fully formed song. I just don't think this one's I don't think it's going anywhere, man. I can't hear this on American radio. I just can't hear it in regular rotation. Like, this is not K-pop's Despacito, yo. It's just, there's no way. But it's
foreign artists are taking over America, man. And I know this is the exact opposite of the Latin pop overload that we're witnessing. Yeah. But I just think it's people in America are enjoying other cultures. And I think that's fantastic. And I think that people are just going to gravitate towards this band, because I don't think a lot of people in America are aware that K-pop exists.
That's just a shame. I love K-pop. Like, send me, you know, Girls' Generation, send me Hyuna, send me your good, awesome artists, send me your awesome girl groups. Please don't send this, but come on, let's not do this, guys.
Let's
come on.
Do this. It doesn't even matter at this point, because it's fucking happening, man.
I don't know. I think we'll see. You know, this is my moment. I'm saying this is my moment. Like, you know, the Microsoft. I'm scared because, like, the Microsoft guy, you know, he went on stage and he said nobody's ever gonna pay for an Apple phone, and this is that moment for me. I'm saying nobody's gonna buy into this shit. And I really hope they don't, but we'll see what happens.
All right, man. It's going to happen. I'm down for it.
Let's move on to our next story, which is Escape the Fate. Escape the Fate released the second single from their sixth album, I Am Human. Great title, guys. Song is called Do You Love Me? Another great title. Nice work, guys. What do you think of it, Tyler?
This song is something. Empire, the first song we got, was absolutely nothing.
Something. I will take that.
This is something, and it's not something off This War Is Ours. This
shouts
is just
to, shouts to things. That's something. Right? Shouts to things that are not things.
Right. This exists in a way
this
that
shouts to existing.
Right. This exists
musically
in a way that I'm thankful I had to question whether or not it's a pile of shit. This is like the essence of garbage. Like, when you take the trash out and there's like a smell that lingers in the room, that's what this song is. And it has a passable chorus. It has passable post-hardcore Escape the Fate moments throughout it. The riff, the vocal melody, there's some like maybe 5% of old Escape the Fate magic in this song. But the rest of it is just cock rock bullshit. Take the fucking solo out. I don't care, Thrasher, that you can play guitar. Congratulations. What do you want, a fucking cookie? Oh, take it out of the fucking song.
We all know you loved Guitar Hero, Thrasher. We get it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, go listen to Dragon Force in your mom's basement. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Over.
Go.
It's fucking over. Get out of the band. Bring back the Money Brothers. That's what we want. This song, I'm at a 6 out of 10 with this song. I could go on more and more, but this is much better than Empire. And that doesn't take much to say, but for Escape the Fate, I guess I'll take it at this point. Where are you at with it, Matt?
I'm kind of in the similar ballpark as you. I think it's definitely better than Empire, which was a complete disaster. I mean, you almost couldn't call that a song.
Mm-mm.
Like, this is at least a fully formed rock song.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of feels so uninspired at moments.
Yes.
And I'm probably at like a 5 to 5.5 out of 10 on the song. You know,
okay.
There are, like you said, there's like a 5% of old Escape the Fate in it, and I think that's even being generous. I might like knock that down to 3% because I do love a couple moments in the song, and what I really just love hearing Craig's more post-hardcore-y screams in that chorus. They're very tearing, like they're very old school Craig screaming, and like that's about all I really love in the song. It's just hearing those moments in the chorus. Craig quoting about this album: "I haven't been this excited to release something since I first joined the band and we put out This War Is Ours." Come on, guy. Really?
He has to say that. He has to fucking say it. What's he gonna say?
You need the music to back that up. Come on.
He doesn't give a shit. They're all talking out of their asses. You know how these band bros are. Well, I wish he would have said, "It's better than Hate Me."
Right?
At least that's what he should have said to the reporter. Well, I think it's better than Hate
Me. This song is better than anything off Hate Me. So
agreed.
And it's better than the last single. But like, you know, it's kind of meh. But I mean, meh is better than Dumpster Fire. So progress, Maybe like a little potential. Should I have a little hope? I don't know.
Man, we need to, I think we, I guess we need to redefine what progress is.
Yeah. I mean, as the scene goes down, like the Hindenburg, you know,
I guess
we
we
got to
do
take
have
what we
to
can get.
redefine it.
This
Yeah.
has not been a very positive episode, Tyler Sharp.
We're just here to fucking trash on everything. Scene's
It's
going
been a bad
down.
couple of weeks, man.
It's time to
Like,
get out.
it's been a bad couple of weeks. Yeah,
Sell. It is
sell
time to
everything.
fucking sell. You know what? No, you
Get
like
out.
it's too late. You missed your
Yeah,
fucking
you're
chance.
too late to sell. Just go down. Just go down with the
You're
ship.
just going down with your shit
Go
at
down
this
with your
point.
honor, you know.
Right, right.
So Howard Benson, producer, right? He has made some of the undeniable emo classics. You know, My Chemical Romance's Revenge, All American Rejects, Move Along, Papa Roach's Getting Away with Murder, Starting Lines Based on a True Story, Seosin Self-Titled. You know, he's Flyleaf and Skillet's go-to guy. This guy has made some good fucking records. Yet he also made ETF's last record, Hate Me. I just don't know. You know, again, I want hope. I see Howard Benson, I'm like, okay, hope. But then I see what he did with them last time. I'm like, this is not a good sign. And I
No
have
hope,
written my
man.
notes, just it's over.
It's over.
Oh, yes.
Dude, after what David Bendith did to Sleeping with Sirens, I have no faith in producers anymore. If it's not Matt Goldman, I'm out. I'll never
My
bet on a
man made
producer.
Revenge, you know? My man made Move Along, you know? What
David
happened to
Bendith
you?
made fucking Paramore and Under Oath Records and
I
Breaking
know.
Benjamin. He made that band.
Producers get bad too. I guess that's the takeaway. Scene producers are going down too. Everyone's going down. Sell on producers, sell on labels, sell on bands.
Does Joey Sturgis even exist anymore?
That guy's been gone. Yeah, nobody knows where he is. That
He sold
that's
and
all.
he got out, man. He sold early and he
Right?
got out. He
He
did
made
the
all
right
those
thing.
non-core records, cashed in, and then got out,
Got the
right?
fuck out.
Yeah. We gotta move on though, Tyler, and talk
All
about our
right.
next. Senses Fail released the lead single called Double Cross from their new album, If There Is a Light, It Will Find You. Such a Senses Fail title. I love it. The first and two albums where they aren't trying to be a hardcore band. What did you think of this song, Tyler Sharp?
This is not what we were told we were gonna get, man. And I hate to go against the grain. I know this is just the shitter episode, but I'm glad that people are excited about this song. But Buddy told us this was gonna be the album that was supposed to come in between Let It Enfold You and Still Searching. With this song, this is not that. This is maybe a B-side from Life Is Not a Waiting Room. I mean, I'll give
Cool.
it to him. At least they're not trying to be a hardcore band anymore, because that shit needed to be kicked to the curb as soon as that went to the drawing board. That needed to stay with Buddy's side project, Bayonet, or whatever the fuck that's called.
Boot knife.
It's not called Boot Knife, man.
Whatever. Fucking some sort of small
Right.
stabbing object.
Yeah. This song is. It's fun in and of itself. I will give it that. I'm at a 7 out of 10 on it. It's probably could
That's
have
great.
lived on Life Is Not a Waiting Room, but this isn't what I want, man. I want fucking Let It
That's good,
Enfold
man.
You. I
You're
want
at a
Let It
7 out of 10.
Enfold You. Because it's a fun pop punk song, but it's not emo. We want Senses Fail post hardcore. We
Yeah.
want the aggression. We want those grating screams. Like, where the hell are those? And those screams and the bridge in this song, Buddy's still trying to do his hardcore shit. It's like he forgot how to do it. I don't know. Maybe you just grow up and your vocals change and he needs to fucking shave. I'm at a 7 out of 10 on the song. I guess I'm just mad. I think we were, I don't know. This isn't what we were told we were gonna get, so I'm disappointed. But if I had to give my unbiased opinion on the song, it's not terrible, and I should live with that and stop complaining. Where are you at with it?
So at first, I really disliked this song at first because it's kind of flat and simple. And, you know, Buddy isn't the same singer anymore. And you brought up the screaming thing. And I think that's less of him trying to be a hardcore screamer and more of just like that's all he can do
That's
anymore,
all he can
screaming wise.
do.
I don't think he can hit those same screams he did, you know, in the early, like, Irony of Dying is your on your birthday sort of stuff. But the song really grew on me because, like, I'm just so happy to have Senses Fail back. This was one of my favorite bands. And this is a true return. Like you said, it's not what we were promised. This isn't the spectacular album, you know, in between Still Searching and Let It Enfold You, but it's a return to some form. You know, it's a return to Senses Fail. And this song I just found to be very comforting and breezy. And I'm right where you are. I'm at a 7 out of 10. And, you know, I just really enjoyed it. And this is the first time I've been anticipating a Senses Fail record in a long time. And that's nice. It's coming out on Pure Noise Records again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bo from Seosin produced this album, and I just like
Oh, I
I can
didn't know
hear
that.
those emo feels like all throughout this song. I can hear that, you know, Seosin emo. I just hear it in the song, and I like it. It's a very obvious fan service Senses Fail song,
Yes.
but at this point, I guess that's what I want. You know, Buddy tried so long. He tried so long to prove that they were a cred band, you know, and it's just not what they are. They're not good at making hardcore. Leave that to all the bands Tyler Sharp knows about. You know what I mean? They know how to make that kind of music. You know, leave that to Knock Loose. You, Buddy, you're not Knock Loose. You know, Senses Fail can't make that kind of music. So it's just so nice to hear Senses Fail being Senses Fail again. Like I said, I'm at a 7 out of 10. I'm anticipating with cautious optimism what is to come.
Don't tell Buddy that, man. They're label mates with Knocked Loose now, so he might be hearing that Knocked Loose record, and we might be getting some beatdown riffs on the next Senses Fail album.
No.
Right. I am still excited to hear the rest of this album, and I hope we get more of the Let It Enfold You emo-y post-hardcore vibe instead of this pop punk era-ish 2007 Senses Fail. But I'll
I'm
take
just
it.
I'm t I'll take it. You know, they're an emo band again in some sense, and I'm happy about that. Okay, we gotta go to our next story, Tyler, which
All right.
is My Chemical Romance. Their album Danger Days finally went gold and has sold 500,000 copies. You know, this album was a commercial failure, obviously, compared to Revenge and Black Parade. Revenge, I think, went double platinum. Black Parade, I think, went double platinum. Those albums all sold, you know, just insane amounts of records and had huge hits. Danger Days has sort of limped to 500,000 copies. You know what I mean? It
That's
limped to gold status, whereas like Black Parade was gold within the first month of being released. You know, this is how many years removed are we? 7 years at
Seven.
this point. It took 7 years, you know, and Gerard Way posted about it on Instagram. And of course, he had to make a fucking joke about it because God forbid Gerard Way take an accomplishment seriously. But I don't know. What do you think, Tyler? Like, where are you with this record? And what do you think about it? Like,
It's
pulling
just
out some success at this point.
Yeah, it's just whatever. I do like a few songs. I just think that limped is a very favorable term for what this album has done. I remember the
No, I know.
day.
Limped would have been correct if it took a year to go gold. It took 7 years to go
Right.
gold. This is like I don't even know. I don't even know what counts. You know, if it
Nearly a
takes you seven,
decade,
if
man.
it takes you 7 years to go gold, it's like an
I don't
honorable
even know if
mention.
it co if it counts as going gold at
Yeah,
this point, man.
it's an
That's my
honorable
whole thing about
mention.
it. It's just like, and like you said about Gerard cracking a joke at it. It's like, dude, can't you take this shit seriously for once? Like, you changed fucking
People worked
lives.
hard on this, you know, like you created a whole universe of artists and you just gotta, you know, post it on Instagram like, ho, 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 we went gold.
Like, fuck that shit, man. Like, your band changed lives, and you just use it to sell your comic books now. I think that's bullshit.
Gotta say, this is my favorite MCR album. Songs, and I know that's a controversial opinion to have, but songs like
So wrong.
Bulletproof Heart, Sing, The Only Hope, Destroya, like I love all of those songs to death. I had one of the most like fun summers of my life just cranking this album in my car. My favorite MCR song though is not on this album. My favorite MCR song is My Way Home Is Through You, which is a B-side from Black Parade. What's your favorite MCR
Interesting.
song?
Interesting. Mine is also a B-side type song that they released on like those dual single series releases after
The
Danger
Deadly
Days.
Weapons or whatever.
It's called
Conventional Weapons.
Conventional Weapons. Yep,
Yeah.
that's what they were called. The song's called The Light from Behind Your Eyes.
That's a
I
good one.
that song just will tear your heart apart, man. I love it. It's so fucking haunting. I was like, this is My Chemical Romance. Like,
Yeah.
you could play this with an orchestra at Wembley, man. I
There are
love that song.
a lot of good songs on that scattering of EPs. I also like the song Boy Division, which was put out that same release, I think.
It's a good one.
Real Friends are recording right now with Jeremy McKinnon from A Day to Remember. Do we care?
I want to care. I want to be
Yeah.
excited about something, man. I really do. And I enjoyed this last single that they put out. It makes me wonder who they wrote it with, because I don't think they could have wrote that song. I don't know. Are we gonna get a Real Friends album? Is Jeremy gonna do his magic, or are we gonna get a Neck Deep album? Like Jeremy put his magic all over Life's Not Out to Get You, and it was a fantastic pop punk record, arguably the best new wave pop punk album that we've gotten. He's gonna have to dismantle this band from within. They've got bad tendencies, and he's gonna have to remold them as songwriters. So he's got his work cut out for him. But
they just seem to be doing everything they can to not succeed. So
right,
he does have his work cut out for them. But that is it for the show this week, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions for us, feel free to send them in to note2scene@gmail.com, and we will happily answer them on the show. Please, if you enjoy the show, take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We will see you next week.